Ay, welcome to Setting the Pace with a special guest, an international guest, social media guest, as Brazilian says, guest with Alto Astral. She switched from Portugal to Holland, Netherlands, and she became almost viral. She was my neighbor. She was also my training partner almost 10 years ago. And to talk about all of that, past, present, and future, she's with me. She's Márcia Martins.
Márcia, hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
I made you this surprise of talking in English because we could make it in Portuguese, but I was thinking, no, let's do it in English because she's an international guest.
I guess I will be able to speak better in English than Portuguese, to be honest, because I don't speak nowadays. I barely speak Portuguese. It's mostly when I text with my friends. But when you told me to join you, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to make this? Because I actually don't know many words in Portuguese anymore. It's just fading from my mind. So it's actually good that we're doing in Portuguese, in English, I mean.
Yes. Thank you for being in this humble podcast. And it has already 89 episodes. So
wow. You
are the 89th guest. So thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
One month and a half, did you already recover from your marathon?
I still have all the emotions going through my mind. I started running again, but my marathon process was not the easy one. I went through many injuries, many accidents that happened. So I'm still kind of recovering, but I'm just enjoying running right now, going for a run without watch, just get lost in the forest. And when I get tired, come back home. So right now, no plans. I'm just enjoying the running without any kind of, oh, you have to do the long run, you have to do this. But yes, I'm recovered from the marathon.
Physically.
Physically, I'm totally road, let's say.
I saw your video the day after your marathon. You were like in the stairs.
Crawling.
Like, what is this?
I was crawling the stairs. I had many cramps from kilometer 30 to the end. So when I arrived at home, I was in the car already thinking, how the hell am I going up the stairs with the legs like they are right now? So I had to crawl upstairs, basically.
Did you think I was silly? I shouldn't do this?
No.
No?
I did not. I finished, and then the first thing I said to myself, I'm going to do another one.
Okay. But that is some craziness because, like me, you did short events at the track.
Yeah.
When we were athletes or supposedly athletes, we did the short races.
Yeah.
But we both enjoyed to run a long time.
Yeah.
So you are really like me. Have you, were you like that already when you were the little Márcia that were yellow and green from Sfra?
That little Márcia is still in here. I mean, I still enjoy running. I still enjoy on the streets, go for running events. I say that I'm still that same Márcia.
Okay. And you were born in Portugal or in Cape Verde?
I was born in Cape Verde. And then when I was 13, I moved to Portugal in 2005. I had to join my dad. Unfortunately, I lost my mom 1 year before. So then my dad was living in Portugal. And that's the reason why I moved to Portugal. Spent another half of my life in Portugal, another 13 years. And in 2018, I decided to move to the Netherlands just like out of a sudden. It was something
yes.
that I honestly didn't see it coming, but it just popped up and I was like, why not?
Do you still have memories of your childhood in Cape Verde?
Definitely. Unfortunately, many things are already starting to fading, and that makes you sad, of course, because you don't remember much of the people that raised you. For example, my mom, I have very few memories with her. And sometimes I get, to be honest, I even get scared if I would ever forget her face. But I still have a lot of happy memories that I will carry with me for sure for the rest of my life.
And arriving at Portugal, how was it, that transition?
Yeah, to be honest, it was a tough one. I think I held it good inside myself, but I had to adjust to a new language, new culture, new friends, new family. So everything was new. But luckily, on the same day I arrived, I found the running. I found the Safra group, which took me on board and made me feel like I'm home. Just so you know, for example, my best friend, I met her on the first day I arrived in Portugal, which is insane. But yeah.
Still the best friend?
Still my best friend.
Oh. Yeah, but you enter in Safra through your brothers or?
Yeah.
You enter at the same time?
No, my brother from my father's side, they moved to Portugal a little bit before me. When I moved, Patrick, Sandy, Isandra, many of them. They were already doing the running with Safra. And then on the same day that I arrived, actually, the person who went to took us up from the airport to home was Celestino. And on that same day, they had a party at Safra. And then we were invited to join me and my brother. And that same day, I got to know all the people. And 1 week later, there was I running in the Parque Central with all the Safra members.
And they were already my neighbors. So when you arrived, you got to Casal de Sombras, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, one curiosity, I was in two important races, very important races, with Patrick, one with Sandy. With Patrick, it was a best race for me because it was one of my best races, 400 meters hurdles. Mm-hmm. Patrick is my age or maybe 1 year younger. And of course, I beat him. It was 400 meter hurdles because if it was flat, you would got me. But with hurdles, I said bye bye. With Sandy, in 2014, I was pacemaker of his best race, the race that got him the qualifying standard for the European Athletics. So my question is about that season of Sandy. That evolution that he had, that you saw very closely, got you think, maybe I can do the same. Maybe I can develop myself to these international standards. Or you never had those high dreams in athletics?
Yeah, I think if you do athletics, you always have that little thing in the back of your mind that says, okay, maybe, why not? Why not think about the Olympics? I mean, that's the biggest you can dream. But to be honest, I always did athletics in a way that to have fun and to socialize with my colleagues, of course, to have that discipline as well. But I always took the decision and said to myself, I'm going for a professional career, let's say, and not really for to just not do anything else with my life and just dedicate to the athletics. That was never my thing. So I always said, I can try to do my best and conciliate with my studies, with my work. But that wasn't my main priority in life, to be honest.
Yeah, to be honest, I think I never saw you very committed.
Yeah.
And we used to joke, me and Pedro, we were saying that Veredas team was a grupo de convívio e amizade.
Exactly.
I don't know how to translate that, but you said it perfectly. It was to have fun and to enjoy the company of others. And
yeah,
our group of Veredas teams, do you still remember the jokes about with Ba?
Yeah, Rafa Ba, Marcia Ba.
Of course. Because at the time, I started to make a documentary from like do Monte Galega até aos Jogos Olímpicos.
Exato.
Ba, without training, he could join me in the Volta da Brandoa. And he was from Guinea-Conakry, I think. So a country that take athletes to the international events by invitation, mm-hmm. we were like, maybe if he trains, maybe
exactly.
he can go. But to work out with him was very fun.
It was always a joke. It was always have fun, and interval training with him was also funny because he would keep himself in the back for like 9 series, and then on the last one he would just go away. We were like, what the hell just happened?
What are the best memories that you have from that time with that group?
I think, to be honest, mostly of the day I had fun, but to go there, see my people. Also, the training was a way that you will put your frustration out. So that's how I use the athletics. But the best memories were definitely when we had a national competition and we would go all together in the car, and then we will stop at Pingo Doce and buy that frango. And buy that grilled chicken, and we would just go and sit in the first place that they'd be in front of us and just eat all together, and we wouldn't mind whatever it was, but we were just happy together. So those were definitely the best memories.
Yeah, but that part of the chicken, maybe if it was today, people said, oh, that coach is racist because he only gives chicken.
He was chicken every day.
Yeah.
And every race.
What about your relationship with André? More than a coach?
Definitely.
I have
to say that André is more than a coach. I mean, at a certain point, he was a coach. He was a best friend. He was the father. He was everything. He was the person that if I would have any problem, whatever it is, I could come up to him. For example, I remember when I went through my first breakup, where my heart was completely broken. He was there with me every day, just talking from, I don't know, from the beginning of the day until, let's say, 12, 1 a.m., it would be there for me. So André is definitely someone that I don't say is my coach, but is a true friend, and is someone that I will take with me for the rest of my life, for sure.
Yeah, I'm a bit jealous because when I see your posts, before I can put a like, it always says, Carlos Varedas, like it.
Yeah.
You never like my stuff. Why?
Oh.
What about your favorite event? 400 meters or 800 meters?
Hard to choose. I had like a love-hate relationship with both, to be honest, because before I did like 400 for a while, I say 3 years in a row, and then I was completely done with it. And then André said, okay, let's try 800. And it went pretty okay. But then you get to a certain point, you were like, oh my God, which one do I choose? But if I had to choose, I would say 800, to be honest.
800 meters. I remember that you were always trying to go below 220.
Yeah.
Have you made it?
I think I did 219.
Okay.
That was my best national. Yeah. In Braga.
It was a championship or like a club championship? No, club championship, no. Because at Friday you didn't have a team.
Yeah, no, that one was just national. I think it was Campeonato Portugal.
Okay.
I can't even remember which year it was, but I did 219 in there.
Okay, so you made it.
Yeah.
At the same time, you said that your priority was study, and you studied the sports management, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At that time, what was your professional dream? To run like a big organization, sports organization, to be on top management?
At that time, when I was studying, a lot of things came to your mind. You know, you could be a teacher, you could be, many things. But the things that always stood in my mind was, one day, maybe I can run a sport academy myself and even own it. So at that time, I always had that in the back of my mind. Well, today, what I do is completely different because I totally focus on the economic side instead of the sport. Of course, I'm connected to a big sport organization, a sport brand, but I'm doing finance right now, so it's completely different than that. But every time I get a chance to participate in a organization of a sport event, I'm always there. So it's still something there, and sometimes I even joke with my boyfriend because he's a personal trainer. I even tell him, why not one day dream about having a sport academy that we run it, that is ours. So it's something that is still in the back of my mind.
In the beginning, you said that you never thought about going abroad, but yeah, it came all of a sudden. So why? There was an opportunity in your company, or
it's difficult because when I moved to Portugal and after 13 years, I never thought I would go and start my life all over again in another country. But one of my closest brothers, well, my closest brothers, to be honest, he moved to the Netherlands from Portugal in 2010. And since he moved, then almost every year I would come on holiday to the Netherlands. And he was always telling me, why don't you just move? Why don't you just move? But I always had an excuse. He was studies. He was an ex-boyfriend. He was this and he was that. And then at a certain point in that year, he was always saying, you know, you are now alone, because my father also moved to Germany with my stepmother. And that time I was like, I don't know actually what happened, but I was in the store in Vasco da Gama at ASICS store. And then suddenly I told my store manager at the moment, Anna, I said, Anna, what if I would like to move to the Netherlands, but still stay with ASICS? And then literally she looked at me and say, why don't we just send them an email and see? And with that, we send them an email. They respond on the same day and saying, if you want, we can have an interview with you tomorrow or something like that. And I was like, yeah, why not? Because I also got to know two of the employees of Amsterdam store at the Paris Marathon. With ASICS, we had that opportunity to send some employees to work at the expo for the big events. And I got to know two of the Amsterdam stores that they were like, yeah, we already know Marcia. We know how she works. And then we had basically not an interview, but a conversation. And they said, when can you start? I was like, if you want, I can start already tomorrow. This was on the 24th of June. I literally moved to the Netherlands after 3 days and started a week later.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
And how was that adaptation? A new country, a language that probably one of the most difficult language to learn.
Yeah.
And to speak, because it's just blah, 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 blah.
We speak with a throat. But well, it went okay. To be honest, in the beginning, my biggest concerning was actually the language, because I could barely speak English myself. I was like, what am I doing? I can speak Portuguese. Nobody speaks Portuguese there. Mm-hmm. I went to Google and learned how to sell shoes in English, and I translated all the shoes, how to sell it. So I would go to the store, and the only conversation I could have was basically with the customers. When they would come to say, hey, how are you? I would literally start freaking out and say what I could. But luckily in Amsterdam, you have a pretty, the Netherlands is a pretty international country, especially in Amsterdam, where I think everybody can speak English. So they will come to the store and I would just say, I'm sorry, but I just speak English. Is it okay? And they will be totally fine with that. And with that, they also helped me to develop my level of English. I basically worked in English. Right now, I also work in English because, well, ASICS is an international brand, international company. And with time, I also got to learn a little bit of Dutch because my brother at the time had a little girl and she was 1.5 years old, just starting to learn Dutch. So I said, why not to try and just learn a little bit with her? And luckily I did, because she can't speak any other language. So otherwise I wouldn't have any connection.
No, 6 years almost.
Yeah, six years almost. In 3 weeks will be 6 years since I moved to the Netherlands.
Do you think running help you to enter and to have friends and to connect?
Definitely. Definitely. I can tell you that, of course, I have friends that are colleagues from work, But my biggest fans that I have here are the running ones. Fortunately, I also had the opportunity to join the ASICS Frontrunner community in 2019, a year after I moved. So I joined the ASICS Frontrunner from the Netherlands. We are a pretty huge community, around 700 runners all around the world. So definitely my best friends are the running side. So running helped me in all kind of ways.
And did you meet your boyfriend there? Running?
My boyfriend, I actually met him at ASICS. We were both employees.
Okay.
Yeah, he was working in a different store. I used to work also. Both stores was in Amsterdam, so sometimes we would work at store from each other, and that's where I met him.
But now he's only PT or still works at ASICS?
No, now he's a full-time personal trainer, and sometimes he also enjoys go for a little run with me.
Yeah, there's something I like to point out is that you look always happy. And maybe that also is a part of that adaptation because it works like a magnet. People yeah. want to be around you. They like your energy. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I thought about that. Well, every day when I woke up, no matter what the issue that is going around you, so I just said to myself, okay, let's just try and be positive and try to smile because, yeah, if you have an issue and you just decide to hold it onto yourself and I don't know how to explain, but I just decide to choose positivity and go for this side of showing the happy me. But of course, I'm not happy all the time, so, but...
That was the second question. I'm really happy all the time.
No, definitely not. Okay. I'm just like anyone else. So I run through my problems. Most of the time I come home, I cry. A good cry can help a lot. So I just cry and put my frustration out. Of course, the running part also helps you with that. I say I'm a runner all the time. So any kind of frustration, any kind of emotions you have, you just go for a run and let it out. So, yes, I'm not happy all the time, but I choose to just show the happy side of me.
Yeah. And now about what you do at ASICS, as you started as a store supervisor here in Portugal, in Vasco da Gama. Now you work as a financial control executive.
Yeah.
How was all that process of like growing inside your company?
Well, I'm a pretty lucky one, right? Because I came from being an employee 25 hours per week from Portugal, became a supervisor there. Then I had the opportunity to move to Amsterdam, where I was also supervising the store. And then in Hoofddorp, which is a city here in the Netherlands, we have our headquarters from EMEA. So whole Europe, Middle East, and South Africa. Mm-hmm. And then they also have a little store there. And there was an opportunity that came up and they told me, would you like to be the store manager of that store? From one point, I was like, okay, if I decide to be a store manager in that store, it's just a little store. I'm not actually managing people. I'm just managing myself. But I was also one step closer to where I wanted to be, which was to work in the head office. So I didn't hesitate in that side and say, of course, I will accept this opportunity. And luckily, the opportunity for me also came up pretty quick because when I joined ASICS, I said, okay, just put yourself out there and show people that you are interested and that you actually can do other things besides selling. So I spoke with the financial manager at that time and told him that I would love to work in that area because I did study half economics, half sports. And then when the opportunity came up 1 year later, he told me that he had a position for me, which of course I had to do all the interview with other people and see if I would be the one that will be most suitable for the work. But yeah, that's how the opportunity came up. So I'm already doing financial controller for 3 years now and pretty happy with my progress so far.
Great. Great to see your professional growth and that you are in a company that gives opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you think running and athletics gave you some tools so you can win in your professional life?
Definitely. I always say that running actually helps me with everything that I do currently. So, what do you learn with running? To interact with each other, to put yourself out there, to, I don't know, to just show your strength, basically. And in a certain way, all of this has been helping me to interact more with people, because I used to be a pretty shy girl. And nowadays, if you tell what, Marsha, no, shy, no. But everybody will say, like, what are you talking about?
The same as me.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, running helps you in that way, because when you participate in a sport environment, in a race environment, you have to interact with other people. And in that way, it definitely opened many ways for me.
Yeah. And one thing that I see that to work in ASICS is fun, and you have a lot of opportunities to visit countries. As you said, I went to Paris Marathon for Expo, but now I see that you were in Vienna, you were in Sweden, everywhere. What was the most beautiful country or city that you visited?
Difficult, because I've been visiting many. Right? Yeah, I've been visiting many of them, but one of the experiences I loved the most was to visit Italy, Sicily, the island. I went with my ASICS Frontrunner team. Sicilia. Okay. I also visited Budapest. Budapest was not the first time. The first time I actually went to Budapest was with Pedro, with our friend. Yes. But Budapest has always a special, it's a special place. I don't know. That vibe, the city. And of course, I also visited while it was the World Championship for Athletics going on. That one was definitely an experience that will stay in my mind forever. But yeah, I would definitely say Sicily. I love Sicily in many ways. It's a beautiful island. The food is the best food I ever had in my life. I'm sorry for saying this, even though the food in my country is pretty good. And to be honest, in Portugal, it's pretty good. But Sicily went above and beyond.
But with those experience abroad, many countries, do you see yourself going to another journey of, okay, they want me to go to Stockholm, let's go
to live there,
work there?
You
said the headquarters of ASICS is at the Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
Well,
for European, I actually said to myself, if there was opportunity, for example, to work at ASICS America or ASICS Middle East for like 1 or 2 years, I would definitely embrace that. But I do not see myself moving, like, to build my home at another place. If it's for a short period of time, let's say 6 months to a year, I will be definitely willing to do that. But I think the Netherlands is a pretty good country where you can have a stable life, raise your kids. So I see myself living here.
Forever.
Yeah.
Not returning to Portugal.
Difficult.
only when you retire.
When I retire, actually, the plan is to go back to my origin country, to Cape Verde.
And what is the city in Cape Verde?
It's an island. We have 10 small islands, and mine is called Mayo.
Mayo. Oh, yeah. It's very small, right?
Yeah, very small one.
Well, Marcia, it was a pleasure to talk with you, to know more about your story, because we were training partners, we were neighbors, but I never got to know your story. Mm-hmm. Maybe Pedro knows or other friends know, but yeah, so it was nice chat.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm very happy that all is going well with you. Because you know, sometimes it's very difficult when you were born in that small island called Mayo.
Yeah,
the prospects of the future maybe are not like you have now. Maybe
no, exactly, definitely
never goes or cross your mind that you were in this position right now. So I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. I've been following you close as well. So every Instagram post that comes, I'm always excited to see, especially when it's related to athletics, You're doing a very good job. So keep going with that. And we will keep on following you and motivating you. So anything that is needed from our side, you know that you can always count on us.
I have to start to speak more in English.
Then I can share with my followers as well.
To gain more, more worldwide public. Because talking Portuguese, only about Portuguese athletics, is very short, and I guess the public is short. Even the athletes, I don't know, are shy to share.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's something is strange. Something is strange.
Well, you know that. Talk about the Netherlands. There's so many athletes over here, and many good ones. So we can make
maybe Europe. Maybe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, but not in Dutch, because
Dutch in English.
Oh, another guy that is in the Netherlands is João Almeida. Have you ever met him in the street or?
No, we were actually at a certain point, we were actually living in the same city because we reached out to each other because I noticed that when the Nationals of Athletics is going on Facebook or Instagram and there is a live streaming, we are always watching. And he was always commenting on it. So I was like, so funny. But we were at a certain point living in the same city. I'm not sure if he actually still lives in here. But we do speak sometimes, but I never met him. So that could be something for this year.
Yeah, he became a father.
Yeah, he became a father.
And it's in your plans to be a mother?
Definitely. Hopefully soon.
Okay, so Middle East. It has to wait.
Yeah, exactly. Not anymore.
Okay, Marcia Ba. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rafa Ba. I'll speak to you soon. Obrigada. Ciao.
Ciao.